826, it is Morning Line on KMBA. TGIF, Danny Preston here. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Made it through another week, and here we are, the 1st of December already, and lots of cool things happening in December, including the presentation of a very special multimedia project that's called Alaska Water Wars. It's a project that shares the stories of Alaska Native people as they navigate the benefits and the risks posed by new natural resource development projects coming to their regions. Boy, we're going to be talking about this a lot here on 90.3 KMBA. We are so pleased to have the producers of the multimedia project in the studios with it, broadcast journalist Aisha Eden and editorial and commercial photographer Brian Adams are with us in the studio. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, Aisha, give us a bit. Now, folks who have listened to public radio in South Central Alaska and elsewhere, for some time, probably everybody knows who Aisha Eden is. But give us just a little overview about what the project's about.
Well, this is a project about water and people. News stories about big resource development projects do not often include the voices of Native people in the affected communities. And so Brian and I wanted to change this. Often you hear from scientists and government officials and, you know, big companies, but you don't hear those voices of local Native people. So in these stories, of course, we talked with government officials. We talked with this company, the Pebble Partnership, in this case, because these stories are about Bristol Bay and the Pebble Mine. We talked with the EPA, but you're not going to hear those voices in the story. We fact-check things with them. What you're going to hear is voices of people from Bristol Bay, from the tribes there, from the communities there.
You know, really, one challenge, you know, journalists, of course, and people that work in the public sphere, we all have feelings. We all have our own beliefs. We all have our own biases, because we're human beings, but you really have to be objective in this sort of, and I really envy both of your ability to have some objectivity when approaching this really hot button, very emotional issue, you know, here in Alaska. Did that present any special challenges for you?
Well, I'm a journalist, and this is a journalistic endeavor. I think that's always a challenge because as a journalist, you're also a human being, but I'm trained to do this work. However, one problem that I did see with mainstream media and all media in general is that often they kind of go to the same people. And, you know, I've done this too for stories when I'm on deadline and I have certain parameters and I have to get a story done. I'll go to, oh yeah, I know that person. I know that person. I know that government official is going to talk to me,
went,
and I can get it done.
You went beyond the go-tos here.
Yeah, and that does take time. And so what we're doing here is something different than that. I mean, this project unfolded over 6 months. We had the time. We took the time to go and talk to people in these communities. We sought out grant funding to make that possible because, you know, some of these plane tickets from, you know, Anchorage to Igiagig costs a lot of money, you know, and when you get there, it's a different time frame to talk with people. So that's how this is different. But it is a journalistic endeavor.
Alaska Water Wars is going to be a five-piece news presentation next week, broadcast twice a day here on KMBA at 8:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the afternoon. But that said, and we're so pleased to have it, that said, the project's a lot bigger than just what you're going to hear on the radio. Brian, talk about your involvement, what all you did, and how are you going to go about presenting your work in the perspective from both of your journalistic perspectives?
So what I was really excited to do was just to get a lot of, along with all the portraits that go with Aisha's interviews, I wanted to get a lot of great sense of place photos to give people a really great look of the pebble deposit itself and the land that is all around there and that would be affected by it.
We hear, I mean, we, you know, the Pebble controversy and the Pebble project have been in the news here. As everybody knows ad nauseum here in Alaska for years, and of course it's been revitalized here in the last few months. But I don't know that I've ever just looked at a picture of Pebble Mine and studied it much. And I think that the graphic portrayal there will add a very powerful, unspeakably powerful component to this project. Were there any special challenges, obstacles that you ran into, or can't even count the obstacles that you ran into?
One of the things that I was really interested in, when we went to go visit the deposit site, I'd been there two times before on separate occasions to go out there and photograph, but this is the first time where I actually like clarified with who we were with from Pebble that this was the actual specific site where the open pit mine would be. And you'll get to be able to see a lot of those images of the actual deposit itself where it would plan out.
As a photographer, was there a sort of a learning curve to go through as you navigate the whole phenomenon?
Couldn't say so. No.
So there's going to be a presentation tonight that we're going to talk about here in a moment. In fact, let's do that now. Actually, set it up, let folks know that there's going to be a presentation at the Anchorage Museum tonight, and it's going to be. Is it 6 o'clock?
Six to 7 p.m. tonight at Anchorage Museum. And one of the highlights of that presentation is going to be Brian's photos. You're going to get to see the portraits and the landscape photos that he took, which brings so much to this story. And also, we're going to play the first story before it goes on to the radio, so you'll get like a sneak preview, a sneak peek of what this is about. It sort of sets up the rest of the stories. There's a lot going on. It's First Friday, but if you can pop in and take a look, we'd love to see you there.
It's 8:33. If you're just joining us, it's Morning Line on KMBA, and our guests this morning are Brian Adams and Daisy Eaton, the producers of Alaska Water Wars. And of course, that the First Friday event that we just heard Daisha talk about at the museum tonight, a five-part radio series next week on KMBA. And visually, Brian, there's going to be even more saturation with your photos. You want to talk about that?
Excuse me, yes. So tonight we'll be planning on sharing all the photos from the whole series, but also if you miss it here tonight, I'm going to be posting all the images on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. I'll be dripping them every day so that you can see all the portraits and interviews. And the interviews are amazing. They did an amazing job on all the interviews. And I hope you can get a chance to go look through all of them and see who's out there, see who's talking about it. And the great thing, what was also really great with all these interviews is, you know, it has been a topic for a very long time out there. So everybody had a very formed opinion already, and there was a lot of people that were ready to talk about it. So the interviews are really great.
You didn't ask people what they thought and they just say whatever. Right.
No. Some people didn't want to talk to us. I mean, in Iliamna, New Halen, like not very many people wanted to talk to us because this is so controversial. And so in the stories, you really don't hear those voices. But Brian was able, in some cases, to take photos and talk to people that wouldn't be recorded. We also went to Kakanak, Igiagik. We went to Dillingham, Ekwok, and New Stewiehawk. So a lot of places that a journalist and a photographer, photojournalist, don't get to go every day.
And I would imagine that a lot of different reactions between people in the rural area, either becoming jaded or anesthetized or just so overwhelmed and tired of the media in general. You know, anything would fall under the rubric of the media for the last few years. So I'm sure that plays into it too. And I'm sure you really had to work your tails off to get around that sort of sentiment.
Well, you know, one thing that I am a beneficiary of, and I'll do a shout out to Alaska Public Media here, is working for the Alaska Public Radio Network for many years before launching this project. People knew who I was a lot of the time. They'd heard me on the radio before, and they really respect the local public radio stations like KDLG in Dillingham, which was the first place that I worked in Alaska, and they really respect Alaska Public Radio Network. And so even though I don't work for them anymore and I'm working on an independent project, people love those, they love public radio in Alaska, and it's sort of different than the rest of the country, and so they wanted to talk to us.
Okay. We might go just a little bit long this morning, and it's a very special project we're talking about, so that's okay. I had a couple more things that I wanted to address. That how did you two happen to partner up on this thing?
Well, the short story is, I went to cover the Dakota Access Pipeline protests in North Dakota last winter. Actually, I was there around this time last year. And so did Brian. And we talked on the phone, and we knew the other person was going because, you know, we were like, oh, we got to find somebody from Alaska and work together. And he was there to shoot photos. I was there to record and mostly follow Alaskans who were there. And he actually saw me recording and interviewing someone, but he couldn't. And then he turned around and I was gone. And we never saw each other there.
But only in Dakota. And, yeah.
It was so big at that point. There were thousands of people there. Right. Everything was changing, you know, by the hour. So anyway, when I came back and I realized that I wanted to cover water issues in Alaska, that I wanted to do something different where Native people's voices were in these stories, I immediately thought of Brian because I'd seen his photos from Dakota Access Pipeline protests, and I thought, wow, he's a really great photographer, and it would be great to collaborate with him. And so I reached out to him, and of course, this is a grant-funded project from the Alaska Humanities Forum. They gave me a mini-grant to cover travel, and that paid for Brian and I to travel out to these remote areas. And then we partnered with KNBA because your mission is to bring Native voices to the airwaves. And so it was just kind of a natural thing for Brian and I to work together on this project.
So I want to segue to something from that to something in your bio here, Daisha. It says, Daisha became a journalist because she believes in the power of storytelling. How is the power of storytelling integrated into this project?
Right. I think every journalist, underneath it all, of course, we want to get the facts right, and we need to move quickly if there's breaking news. But we're all storytellers, and when we have the time to tell a story, we really try our best to weave that story well. And I hope that we did this with the photos and with the audio. There's something special about public radio, and there's something special about hearing the voices of people from these areas that we don't often hear. You know, I hope ultimately that storytelling is a way for us to create more understanding in the world and more empathy, which is something that I think we are severely lacking right now. And that has always been my mission, is to create understanding across boundaries and across cultures. And I hope that journalism is a way to do that through storytelling.
And we talk about the multimedia project, and what just astounds me is the fact that each in your own medium is able to make storytelling powerful. I mean, Brian, your pictures, you know, the old cliche or adage of pictures are worth a thousand words or whatever. That's got to be more than apropos in your case. Do you feel the power of storytelling as well through your medium?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, yeah, when we're working on a project like this, it's the most important thing is getting all the facts straight. But then we also want to tell it in, or show the images in the most interesting way also, because, you know, to keep viewers coming back, to keep them, so they're not looking at something that's stale and, you know, uninteresting in the long run. You know, I want to have them keep coming back and enjoying what they're looking at and keep the interest.
what good is all the work to do if it doesn't make for a compelling project? Absolutely. You got to get them in. Get them in the seats first. Yeah.
And one thing that we were able to do, too, was I took some of the quotes from the recordings and paired them with Brian's photos. So even the social media posts, they have his beautiful images of these people in, you know, their homes, in their communities. And then they have a quote, usually, of what that person had to say to us and what their perspective is. So that I think, makes it even more powerful.
Absolutely.
And you can find out more tonight at the Anchorage Museum at 6 o'clock for the first Friday presentation and airing of the first of the news series. It's going to be happening next week on KNBA. 6 o'clock, first Friday. Brian, anything to add as we're wrapping up here?
Yeah, if you want to keep up with the images and watch them drip online, you can check out them on Instagram at Alaska Water Wars and also on Facebook at Alaska Water Wars.
Okay. Yeah, alaskawaterwars.org.
Tremendous. Daisha, anything else?
That's it. We'd love to see you tonight. I know there's a lot of cool stuff going on for First Friday, but just pop by. And even if you can't stay for the whole thing, come check it out.
Exciting stuff. Alaska Water Wars. Brian Adams and Daisha Eden, thanks so much for joining us today on Morning Line. It's 8:42, still to come, new music from Johnny Lang and Waylon Jennings.